Whoa. Hey. Hey. Yo. I'm making a change today. The lift have been taking the pain away. I heard you was giving your chain away. That's kind of like giving your fame away. What's wrong with you? I sit in a box where the owners do. A boss is a role that I've grown into. I love you to death, but I told you the truth. I can't just be with you and only you. Yeah, I got one Virgil, got one in that dance, the only two, man. How many times have I shown and proved, man? How many nights I've been, whoa, swerving the potholes? Not trying to put the wheels on the road, okay? Funny how life goes. He thought he was sick, now we wiping his nose, okay?
Welcome back to another episode of Tiara Tuesdays. It is your host and favorite scholar, Tiara, and I'm so excited to welcome you back to this week's episode, especially because we have our first guest of the season. It's going to be a live and unedited episode, so that means anything can be said, and you're in for a real treat today. I'm so excited. We're going to move right along. Last week's topic question was, should a woman be expected to work while pregnant, or should her partner be able to carry the financial load? And I actually received an additional response, even though we discussed this already last week in the comments that we got from that. Like I said, it's never too late to comment on an episode. I'll always include it on the next episode if you'd like. And so I do want to add this person's feedback because I really liked it. So, and actually, this listener left me my first voice message, which I don't know if you guys know, but you can leave me voice message at the end of each episode. There's a link attached. If you just go to anchor.fm/TR92, you too can leave me a voice message. And this person didn't want me to say their name, so I do recognize privacy laws. So if you do mind me saying your name, then I'll say it. But if you don't want me to, then I won't, you know. Anyways, this listener said in response to last week's question that a man shouldn't make you feel bad if you choose not to work, that he should uplift you while you're not working instead of verbally abusing you, especially if it was something that the couple discussed. I really like that response because I feel like expectations are discussed in relationships, but then they sometimes get ignored. Me and this listener actually had a back and forth conversation that we ended up taking to IG, and it was just like a back and forth DM. And she confided in me that she was in a nursing program and she was suffering with carpal tunnel, and that her and her partner decided 3 months ago that it was best that she not work and that he would take care of the large bills, you know? And so fast forward to 3 months later, now it's a problem. He's beginning to verbally abuse her, and she's not pregnant, but she definitely is feeling some type of way. She's been with this man for 6 years, and she had hoped to have a baby with this man, but she sees that clearly they are not aligned. So if you have any advice for that listener, go ahead and DM me right now. All you have to do is go to Instagram and type in Tiara L. Christopher. That's TIARALCHRISTOPHER. And you can just DM me your feedback to anything that I said. Okay, so today in Black history, that is July 20th, 1867, the 14th Amendment was passed, giving all persons, including former and freed slaves, the same rights as all other U.S. citizens. This was important because just a few years prior to this, the Civil War had ended, and this was a time when Blacks were fighting for equality, so it was pivotal that the 14th Amendment was finally ratified. Okay, so I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, we will be back with our first guest of the season. Her name is Promise. To become familiar with her, all you have to do is go to Instagram and type in promise.fit. That's PROMISE.FIT. Please check my girl out, and I'll be right back with her.
I've been single for a while now, and I've been kind of lonely. I'm looking for somebody to talk to, love me, someone who can hold me. Is that you?
Somebody I can call to, looking for the only one that I can give my all to. All you have is you. What you wanna do, make a move. You can be my bitch, I'll do homework. Promise, welcome to Tiara Tuesdays.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being my first guest of the season.
Woo, I'm so excited.
Yes, I really appreciate having you here today. So we got so many issues to discuss, so we have to just get right into it. Okay, so today we're going to discuss the mother-daughter dynamic, which I believe influences how African-American families commonly sweep their problems under the rug. And then after that, we'll be discussing dating somebody in jail. And then we will end with supporting your friends and business. So we're going to start off today's discussion with talking about the mother and daughter dynamic, because I think how your mother treats you gravely affects how you see and communicate with the world. So Promise, how is your relationship with your mom, if you don't mind me asking?
Me and my mother are super close, like really, really, really close. But it hasn't always been like that. But at this point, yes, we are very close.
And so you say it hasn't always been like that. How long did it take for you to develop that bond?
We went through a period of 1 year where we weren't speaking. And I think for that whole year, we went through trials and tribulations that we realized we could have been able to come out of if we were together. You know, if we were working together, speaking, you know, this is stuff that could have been worked out. So when we did finally start speaking, it was just like, I missed you so much. Like, there's no way what we were distancing ourselves from, it wasn't worth it.
And then do you want to share what was the problem that you guys fell into that caused you to have those years of separation?
I want to say it was me and my mother we've always been so close. And I think maybe it was we were too close that we automatically just depended on each other. And when we couldn't come through for one another, we took it very personal.
That's very interesting that you say that you were too close, because I don't feel like you can be too close with your mom. Like, she's supposed to be like your first best friend, right?
Yes. Yeah. But I feel like there should be a little distance there to where you shouldn't expect. And that's family regardless. I feel like you shouldn't expect so much, you know. You kind of just have to let them be who they are, you know, with anybody. If they can help you, if they can be there for you, then cool. And then also, if they can't, it shouldn't be, you know, a punishment.
Okay, so like the love should just be unconditional for a mother.
Yes,
to a daughter.
Absolutely.
I like that. I feel like my own mother, her love is conditional. But okay, so you guys were able to get back together, and now you are at a good place.
Now we are at a perfect place. We are both better, and we noticed flaws within ourselves that we were able to correct to come together.
Oh, I like that. Were y'all able to communicate, or did y'all just sweep the past problems under the rug? Or did you say, like, this Woo. Is what you did that wronged me?
Okay, so what happened was my fiance, we weren't speaking. I'm a Sagittarius, so I'm super stubborn. So I was like, just leaving it for what it was. And my fiance invited my mom over to the house for Christmas. It was Christmas. And so I'm like, okay, well, we have to speak. You know, I'm not going to, you know, walk around here and disrespect her, ignoring her. So we had to speak. We kind of had to just throw it all out there. And we were screaming. We were crying, you know, but at the end of it, it was a hug. There was understanding. And just we chose love.
Oh, that's beautiful. During the end of the holiday season.
Yes,
that's what Christmas is really about. bringing people together and not about the presents. I like that.
It was definitely Christmas.
Okay, so I'm glad that you and your mom have a positive relationship now that you guys were able to bounce back from the events that had plagued your relationships in the past, because I'm like opposite of that. Me and my mother have a very dysfunctional and a somewhat tumultuous relationship, like that, I would say. Just because my mom at a young age, she would always choose men over me and my sister. And then later my brother, once he came along. And so I just always felt like and still to this day like that. I mean, we're currently on a falling out, but I just feel that like I'm always working to win her approval. Like I even joined the Honor Society because she likes to brag about shit that she never even supported. Like, she never bought me one book in college, but of course she wants to post on Facebook like, oh, my daughter graduated with honors, you know. And I really only joined the Honor Society so she could have those bragging rights, because it's like, what do I have to do for you to love me? So for me, I feel like I'm always searching for my mother's love, and it gravely affects the way that I see the world and other relationships in the world, you know?
Yes.
And like, me and my mother, we have never been able to talk about our like problems. Like, that's why I wanted to talk about next, like how I feel like in African-American families, we constantly sweep our problems under the rug instead of like talking about them or going to counseling. Cause I've always felt like my mother thought I was like delusional, like this could have never happened, like I imagined all this. But then my sister is older and she has similar accounts that I have, so then I'm like, we can't just be making this shit up. And then we'll talk to her friends and other family members and they're like, no, that's how your mom. So I just consider her to be a piss poor mother growing up. And then as I got older, I was fooled and tricked into thinking like she was changing because she's very manipulative. But honestly, I don't really think she's progressing. And so I just feel like in families, like, you know, I don't know why. And I think it's just like it's most common in African-American families. Like, I don't know. Do you want to share some thoughts on why do you think we just sweep our problems under the rug instead of like going to counseling or therapy, you know?
I think, well, I know for myself, when I speak it, when I say it, it brings life to it, you know? So for a long time, I wouldn't tell no one if I was under a depression. So if I don't tell anybody, there's no one to help me. But it's like, if I say it, it makes it real. If I say it, it's, you know,
it's happening.
It's totally happening. And then also when you speak it, like when you say stuff that you know is going to make someone in your family, you know, feel some type of way. A family is someone, I guess you think of it as there's someone who's always going to be there. So this is somebody who's always going to know this about me. This is somebody who's always, you know, going to be looking at me in that light, if that makes sense.
So I feel like in a way, because you said that you don't deal with your depression, that you too then sweep your problems under the rug.
Yes, you're hoping absolutely.
Are you hoping it's just going to go away, or?
I really try and pull myself up out of it, because at the end of the day, I would love to be able to say, hey, girl, I'm in a depression. I'm in a dark cloud right now. Can you please just check up on me? Can you please just, you know, make an extra time to be there for me? But to give somebody that responsibility and then they not rise to the occasion, I think it would be even more of a letdown. So me trusting myself, I know, okay, once I realize there's definitely a dark cloud over me, let me start meditating. Let me start getting in public where I'm not thinking about these negative thoughts, you know? So I can trust myself to be there, notice the signs, and try and make an effort to get out of it. But right. I can't trust anyone else to be there for me, comfort me, and help me through that just because most likely they won't.
Not even a therapist, though? What about therapy? I see you said that you tried meditating and going outdoors, which is very, which are some healthy tactics when yes. you're suffering through depression, because I too fight depression, which I talked about in season one on an episode about depression and suicide awareness. But so do you think like seeking counseling or therapy would be something that you would consider?
Yes, I would definitely consider. I was in counseling, not so much therapy, but counseling. Right before the pandemic hit, and then I had my counselor. She was a Black woman. She was closer to my age group. I felt like she can totally get where I was coming from. And then when COVID hit, she was really one of the first to be laid off. And after that, it's just I couldn't talk to the older, you know, Caucasian lady they wanted me to, just because I know that there's no way she would be able to understand what I was saying. You know, it might seem like just whatever from her perspective.
Oh, so you think there's a race barrier with
absolutely. Absolutely. I was in counseling for, you know, things that I was going through, just not really thinking, just kind of just doing whatever I wanted to. And then I end up getting in trouble. So I had to go to counseling. But there's no way this lady, I would have been able to tell her what was going on with me and how I felt, and for me to feel understood.
Only because she was Caucasian.
She was Caucasian, a different age group. Like, and maybe if she was closer to age, and maybe that would have helped a little bit, just because the generation, you know, what's going on. You know, you kind of have a more awareness of what's going on in the world as far as the younger community.
I find that very interesting, because the best therapist that I ever had was an older Caucasian woman. Her name was Carissa Barlow, and she was actually a lesbian. And yeah. I think I was 18 or 17, and I had went through like one of the first catastrophic events that I would ever go through in my life. And she really helped prepare me for what was next and get me through it. And then I've also had African-American therapists that I didn't like, that I feel like, I don't know, kind of wanted to act more as an authoritative figure than to actually try to help me. Because I never really did counseling, but I've been in therapy on and off since I was like 16 years old. Mm. And I just find it extremely helpful to me. My therapist also, after the pandemic, her office stopped taking Medicaid. So, but her service is so good, I'm just paying her in cash. So we came up with like a deal, you know. Yeah. And actually, I did read in an article titled "Why African Americans Are Less Likely to Go to Therapy" that some African Americans, they think that it's a solution for wealthy white folks. And like I'm saying, it is. It can be expensive if you don't have insurance, or the ability to pay, you know. But I do think it is kind of ignorant to say like it's only going to help, you know, wealthy white folks, like Black, you know, poor people can't afford to benefit from this.
And I feel like more Black people would go to counseling, but there's not the time management, I feel like, in our community, just because we look at everything. I'm not gonna say all of us, but you know, most of the people in our community look at things, I want to say, as a crunch. So if it's taking up time, then they'd be like, you know, well, should I spend time doing this when I could just be doing this, you know? Or I feel like it goes to the same thing when you start a business, because if you're working a job, you'll work that job and be dedicated. But when it comes to your own business, I'm not going to put that much effort in.
I do. I feel that. And why is it? Why is it that we will work harder for somebody else than we will for ourselves? Man, I feel that when I'm writing my book. I feel like I used to write 15 or 20 page papers at UNLV like it was nothing. Yet why is it harder for me to set that same time and energy aside to write my own book that's going to actually make me famous, you know, versus I'm writing this for an A, because I was always seeking an A. I was a very, you know, highly excelled student with high goals in school.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do feel that. But, okay, so let's take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about dating a man in jail.
Okay.
All right. Tuesdays. I thought that was a funny song to play locked up. Yes.
Because I'm
we're about to talk about dating in jail. We're about to talk about dating a man in jail. And it's like, I'm locked up. They won't let me out.
That's definitely the vibe.
I love it. Okay, so I personally never dated a man in jail. I just don't think that I could or would ever date a man in jail unless he went in there for something like super minor, like a DUI or like drunken disorderly, because these are things my man would be in there for. But I don't know that I could do like some actual time with a man. I love Lifetime, and you know, these crazy women on there be meeting men in jail, like writing them letters.
Oh yeah,
I think that's crazy. What are your thoughts, or do you have an experience your own self with dating a man in jail?
Yes, my fiance did 2 years in prison, and we were together 1 year before he left.
Yeah. Okay, so during that year, do you feel like he was just as committed to you as he was in jail, or did he get in jail? Because I feel like a lot of guys get in jail while they're in relationships, and then they come out, and then they're going to get married to the girl. Well, they tell her this while they're in jail, but then when they get out, they leave this girl that's been holding them down and putting money on their books. So what was your commitments like?
My situation was, you know, we were madly in love the whole year we were together. From the day we met till he went to prison, we were together every day, literally every day.
Inseparable. And I love
inseparable.
It.
Madly in love. Just ridiculous. So when he left, I felt like he definitely got more attached. Because really, I was the only person he had to depend on. You know, he depended on me to send money for him to East, put money on the phone, any visits. You know, I had to drive an hour, you know, 3 days out of the week to High Desert to visit him. And he wanted me there on time, every day possible, you know. So
that's a lot. That's a lot of energy.
It's a lot. I feel like
if you ever feel any resentment, see, I just don't feel like I can do 2 years, bro. You're a trooper.
When he finally came home, I did realize that, you know, little things he would do, I would kind of throw it in his face, you know, that I held him down, and I had to get myself out of that. You know, I chose to do it, so let me not try and use this as, you know, any type of leeway of some sort.
Okay, I like that. So, okay, I like that because it really, I feel like, relates to last week's conversation about relationship expectations and how we have these expectations for our partners, but that somewhere down the line, things change.
Mm-hmm.
So I do really like that. So yeah, I'm very interested because I do feel in this topic, because I do feel like that while you're, you know, still engaged to your man, a lot of women don't have that same experience. And then they have wasted all this time holding a man down in jail. So you were one of the lucky ones. I just want you to know.
Well, I feel like it's really, you have to believe that person, believe who they are. So if he really wasn't that good of a man before he went to prison, most likely they come out the same or a little bit worse because of the mental abuse that they endured. So if he really wasn't a good man to begin with, you know, he's going to come out most likely the same or a little bit more messed up. So if you really it was hard for you to deal with him in the beginning, it's going to be even harder because now he's dealing with, you know, these mental images, you know, that he's created of himself and how his life's supposed to be. And when things don't add up to that, that creates resentment now, you know, because he figured, oh, when I come home, she going to, you know, have everything set for me, you know, house, car, I'm going to get out and just get a job immediately, you know? So they build up this life in their head. And when they come out and if it's not like that, things, it becomes hectic. So now you have to deal with, okay, now he's looking at other people. You know, he's been in prison. The only person he's been able to think about is you. Now he's getting out in the world where he's seeing all these other women. People with all
the attention. Oh, so you gotta deal with jealousy. Was that your experience? You don't seem like a jealous person. But these people, they don't know you.
I'm not really a jealous person in my relationship just because I am very secure. I did get lucky with my man. I am very secure in my relationship, but I know a lot of people aren't like that. But I was secure in my relationship before he went to prison. See, this is all how I felt before he went to prison.
I like that. So you got to have that mindset.
You have
the same mindset going in is going to be the same mindset going out.
Pretty much.
I liked just a few moments ago how you talked about, because I actually have a listener who I discussed earlier. And we've been having some back and forth conversations via Instagram DM. And she actually has been with this guy for 6 years. And she got with him right when he got out of jail. He had 13 years in jail for murder. So very institutionalized, I feel like, is what I was trying to get this listener to see, that he must suffer from some really deep rooted psychological issues.
Yeah, definitely.
When he got out, though, he was only making $10 an hour, you know, at a menial job. And they live in California, which is very expensive to live there, right? And so, you know, she would maintain, she would hold this guy down. And eventually now, you know, he's making $25 an hour at a construction things. But now the roles have reversed. And now she is in a nursing program. And 3 months ago, they agreed that she would quit her job so she could concentrate on the nursing program because she suffers from carpal tunnel, extremely bad carpal tunnel. And so now, though, the roles have reversed. So now he's telling her that she's useless and she should just quit and give up on this nursing program, even though she's so close to completing it, and that it would benefit the relationship and not just her, because, you know, nurses make very good money, especially in California. So what are your thoughts on that? Guys changing after jail, like she, you know, not that she was with this guy while he was in jail, but she definitely held him down after and brought him up.
Yeah.
And now that she wants to do something, like, is there some jealousy? Does this,
you know, what
to do with the 13 years he did in jail? Or
I have a theory that prison creates narcissists. And my theory is because with my experience, okay, when my man finally was released from prison, I consumed myself with everything him, you know, his needs, his wants, everything, because I'm trying to make up for this time that he lost, you know. I bought him the nicest clothes, nicest shoes. I made sure, you know, when he came home, he had his own pocket full of money to do whatever he wanted to with.
I like that. You was a down bitch.
I held you down.
You're like, I don't know if you ever heard of, I'm sorry for interrupting, but I don't know if you ever heard of Triple Crown Publications. It's like a genre of books I used to read when I was a teen. Okay. And you remind me of like that ride or die chick that they would,
that's,
you know,
absolutely
personify in all those books.
And you, and just the type of person I am, I would not be like that with everyone. It's just this relationship with
you,
me,
just knew that this
with
was
me
husband.
And my man, he went to prison providing for me. You know, he did everything he had to do to make me happy, to give me a lifestyle, to
And I think that's a difference then too in your willingness to support him, because a lot, yes, of guys, you know, just go to jail. Like, I have a friend who, he's just in jail for, I think, possibly pimping and pandering. And, you know, I mean, he didn't really do this exactly. He didn't really pimp these bitches for y'all relationship, you know?
Yes. So,
I do think, like, it's a little bit, that's a key difference then, is the fact that what he was doing that led him into jail, it benefited you greatly.
It benefited, you know, me. I totally benefited off of it. So that's what kind of made it to where I had to go hard for him. You know, I had to. I made sure of it. I sent letters every day. I made sure every day he got mail. I made sure there was always money on the phone. I put money on friends' phones so he can talk to, you know, his homeboys and chop it up. But I strongly believe prison creates narcissists, because when they're there, they can only really think about themselves, their lives, and how they want it to be.
Oh, it creates narcissists.
I believe so. That's my theory. Yes.
Oh,
I also have an uncle who's in prison, and he's been in prison 20 some odd years, but I've been writing him and talking to him since I was 12, 13 years old. You know, my stepfather, who I believe was my father for a long time, he was in prison, you know, and he had his relationship with my mother. So it was just in me to kind of have that hold you down mentality. I knew about visits. I knew about writing letters. I knew about, you know, the basics of how it goes when someone's in jail.
Okay, so you feel like you were equipped for this relationship.
I kind of was equipped, yes. it played a part for us, you know.
That's good. I'm ill-equipped. I think that's what it is I'm ill-equipped. And my mama definitely, like, wasn't. I remember a girl, just a funny story for the listeners. I remember we went to go visit, like, my stepdad, I guess you could say. They weren't married or whatever, but my brother's father in jail one time. And we drove from Oakland to San Rita, which is a distance, and on the way back from visiting him, our car broke down, and I must have been like 8 or 9 or something, dude. I like fell asleep while we were on the side of the freeway. I woke up, and finally, like, a police had came and, you know, like, helped us. My mom never went to see this man ever after that. I mean, she would take his calls. I can't say whether she was putting money on his books or not. I just highly doubt it, knowing my mom and her character. I feel like she's a narcissist herself. So maybe that has something to do with it too, is the fact that you were equipped for this and I feel like I'm ill-equipped. But all right, we're gonna shift gears a little bit and move to our next topic, which is supporting your friends and business. Okay, so I like this. I find this topic to be especially interesting, because I think it's hard, like, for me personally to get my friends to volunteer, or family members to volunteer out of their own free will to be a guest on my podcast. It's like that they don't think that they have anything that people can say. Because that's pretty much, I think, what podcast is all about, is just finding a topic that other people can relate to, being interesting and funny and witty enough for them to want to listen to you, and, you know, informative enough, knowing what you're talking about and actually being accurate. So I feel like in that, you know, by that definition, like, everyone I know has something interesting that the world can learn and benefit from, right?
Absolutely.
But it's so hard for me to find
guest, I feel like. I hope publishing my book won't be this damn hard. So what is your experience with friends supporting you and business?
I felt like, see, I have a variety of different businesses, and
yes, do tell the people about them first.
I breed dogs, exotic bulldogs, bullies, Frenchies. I have a clothing line, Promise Fit, @promise_fit on Instagram. I'm a tax preparer. Credit repair.
So, you're a jack of all trades, it sounds like. You're a jack of all trades. What don't I do? It sounds like you're trying to think, I do.
The only thing I don't do is, the next thing is real estate, getting into real estate. But yeah, so with my businesses, at first, it always seems like they're so excited, you know, girlfriends, but, oh, I love your dogs. Oh, this outfit is so cute. Oh, you know, there's that excitement and no backing. So almost like it's just a shell, you know, without the meaningfulness inside.
Okay, so it's like it's fake.
It's fake. Fake
love, like Drake would say. Fake
yes, love. Because, you know, it's that excitement, but nothing to say, you know, oh, let me make sure I'm sharing my friend's business because I know she's trying to hit a goal. You know, let me make sure, you know, if I see somebody with an outfit that's I know my friend sells stuff just like that. Let me go ahead and mention it to this girl real quick.
And can I just ask how much, you know, do you sell your dogs for? How much are your outfits? Because are these business things, are they affordable for your friends? I mean, just so we can just get a sense, so the audience can get a sense.
My clothing line, I feel like, is extremely affordable, you know, because there's Fashion Nova, Pretty Little Things, who are way more expensive than me. But as I have $40 outfits, which is pretty much basic, you know, outfits usually start about
a two-piece set. It's a set, right?
Yep, two-piece set, $40. And those would be like the cutest ones. I have some that are $30, $25. It really just
so you have like a wide range.
A wide range, yes.
So you're like, my friend, if she was really my friend, I mean, she could at least buy a $20 shirt, you know, to show support.
And for me, it wouldn't really be about the money. It would be more so of the support. You know, because I would give my friends an outfit for free if there was that much support. Like, girl, I done talked to so many people about your business. I'm so excited for you. I'm trying to help you grow as much sales as possible. I'm telling everybody that my girlfriend has a bomb idea, you know, a bomb of product that she's selling, you know. So
I like this because word of mouth is a motherfucker.
That it really is, you know, and the type of friend I am. I do not have, you know, because that's the type of friend I am. I go hard for my friends, and I don't have that same backing, you know. So really, I just have associates. I really don't say I have, you know, real true friends, because I just don't have that support.
Oh, I like that. My wife is very weird. She goes, there you go with that F word when I first met her. Girl, I don't have friends. I only have family members, she would tell me, but boy, did I convert her. No, it is hard to find friends that are gonna believe. So then I feel like the question to ask you, like, if they don't support you, then are they really your friend? Because I just feel like if this is your friend, like, don't you want to see them be the best person that they can be? Like, yeah. Don't you want to see them grow and expand and yes. manifest all these ideas, you know, into fruition?
Yes. So I know if I had a girlfriend who was really driven, you know, because I'm really driven. I'm constantly promoting my businesses, constantly spreading a word. So when if I was to see my friend really be that driven, that means she really, really wants it. You know, she wants it bad. And for me not to try to figure out a way to be of service to her, just makes me non-existent. It makes me not really that strong of a friend for her. So
like this. But not everybody is highly ambitious. And although you may think it's common sense, it's not always common practice.
Yes. Oh, I like that.
So, I got that from Les Brown. See, it's common sense, but it's not common practice.
Common practice.
I love him. I also find, though, because I have friends that, like, repost, you know, a lot of their, you know, other friends, like, stuff that they are advertising, you know, and they never repost my stuff. I mean, I think even just reposting your stuff, like, even if, you know, because it's like I'm not selling anything, but even if you didn't want to be a guest on my podcast, just reposting it because, you know, it's just it's expanding you to a wider variety, you know, of audience, or in your case, of customers or clients. So I definitely feel you on. It's hard to find friends to support you in your business adventures. But honestly, if they can't see it for you, it's probably because they can't see it for themselves.
Yeah. So,
I mean, we have to just kind of like you were saying earlier with your mom, meet people where they are. And, you know, maybe they're not good in this area of the friendship, but maybe they have strengths in others, you know, or maybe they're just a bad friend.
Yeah,
so that
would be the next thing. You know, how involved are they in your friendship? Because even though one area might not be 100%, because that's how I look at it. You know, if I have a friend who's really not that supportive in what I would want in my business, but maybe she offers some other things. Maybe she's just that person you can call and talk to, or she's just that person that you know, if something's going wrong, then she's quick to, you know, be there, you know. So there's that balance. But if a friendship is soulless, like no substance, then that's not a friendship at all. That's not.
I love it. Now we're going into another topic. We're going into friendship, but I like it. I'm good with this. No, honestly, I had to learn it. Girl, it wasn't until my second car accident that I learned, because I used to think that I had 6 best friends. Boy, was I sadly mistaken. I only got 1 really good best friend, and her name is Shanna Lee. I know you're listening. Thanks for listening, best friend. And it wasn't literally until I got into this accident, girl, and I lost a lot of my mobility skills, such as my use of my right hand and my front teeth. And I mean, I was so insecure. My self-esteem was so low. My bitch ass man at the time of 3 years left me destitute like this. I couldn't even work. I was just so fucked. And then my friend, my best friend Shanna came along, and we were friends already. And what's so funny is during this time, I actually thought she was mad at me, and I forget why I thought she was mad at me, but I thought she was mad at me for something. And then I got into this car accident, and it's like, no, bitch, why would I be mad at you? I love you. Like, come here. Let me lotion you up and massage you. Let me go to the grocery store. Let me bring you some Jameson. Fuck what your mama talking about. My mom was like, you can't drink Jameson with Vicodin. Bitch, I don't have front teeth. Like, I'm drinking whatever I want. And she just was so great. She'd make this hand cream for my hands. It was like coffee and coconut oil, which I still like concoct and use today, because it's like, it's really makes your skin like really soft, because my right hand, it was just fucked. And she just really showed me that she like is my best friend, like, you know. And all these other people that I thought were my best friends, girl, they were in the wind. I didn't see them there at the time. I thought, I just call her my wife because I feel like I'm the baby daddy to all her children. But at the time, I thought my wife was my best friend. I didn't see her for a month after my car accident, you know? So I feel like with friendship, it's not really like, you know, the length of time you've known a person. It's like when you're down and out, what are they going to, like, you know, how are they going to help you get better? Like, you know, it was just like so major for me to have her like uplift me, like especially my self-esteem, because I mean, you know, you think like you lose your front teeth and then your man loses you and you can't even work. I mean, you feel like shit, you know. So friends, I feel like, are really important when you're down and out, like you were talking about being depressed, to help lift you back up, because it's really hard to get out of depression by yourself. And I want to let you know that, like, don't hold things in. You have a friend in me, like Toy Story said.
Yes, you're right.
But all right, Tell the people where they can find you. I think that pretty much wraps up all our topics today. Where can they find you? Where can they learn more about breeding?
I am Miss Promise _ on IG. I have a app Promise period fit for the clothing line. Kennel is at love_loyalty_kennel. And I also have all natural products. I'm a partner with TLC, and we sell all kinds of products that are all natural that can help you either lose weight, gain weight, get healthy, you know, build up muscle toning, muscle strength. And yeah, we take in all kind of girls who want to grow their business, just start a business, or replace their income from their 9-to-5. And we just teamed up. We built a business besties community, and we really just hold each other accountable for reaching the goals that we want, you know?
Uh-huh. I like that, accountability partners.
Yes, it's very, very important.
Okay, that's good. All right, well, thank you, Promise, for joining Tiara Tuesdays. I'm so happy that you were my first guest of the season. We really did have a really good conversation. I hope that you guys liked it. Make sure you DM me right now your thoughts at Tiara L. Christopher. All right, I'm going to let Promise go, but I will be back with my closings after this break. But I can ball if I want to. Pull up on cars if I want to. How about that bitch with that on in my jumpsuit? Go. Just do what I say and I love you, okay? I get this shit from my uncle. I told Bae get 22 inches a week tonight. I want to fuck a Rapunzel. Okay, let's get in the chair. When she throw that ass back, I say, yeah. I fuck around, get on the PJ tomorrow. I'm put that bitch up in the L. Fly that bitch up out of LA to Charlotte to pick up my barber to come cut my hair. Cause I'm having it, nigga. Got me and my little bitch be dressing. Get the salad, nigga. How about that bitch with that ratchet? Go. Done like my motherfucking daddy. Yeah. Mama, your baby a savage. Uncle Ray hit his crap pipe in my mattress. Let nigga play with me. Fuck it. I slapped him. Thought I was laughing. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with me and Promise. I know I did. It was really fun. I love having guests. If you'd like to collaborate on a future episode, please do not be shy. Go ahead and DM me right now on Instagram at Tiara L. Christopher. That's TIARALCHRISTOPHER. And start following me today so you can be getting updates about new episodes and what to expect on next week's episode. Okay, so also don't forget to comment on Apple Podcast as well. I keep telling you guys, I haven't got a comment on there in forever. Please go ahead and comment on Apple Podcast. Remember, it's a separate app from the music, so you have to download the podcast, you know, and then find me on there. That's TRL Christopher as well, TR Tuesdays, and download season one on there as well while you're at it. Don't forget that I do not own the rights to any of the music used in this podcast and past podcasts, or that I'll use in future podcasts. You can also find me on Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, or Anchor, and pretty much anywhere else you listen to your podcast at. Donations are always accepted. I have yet to receive one donation, but I'm very hopeful that one day I will. All you have to do is go to anchor.fm/TR92 and click the support icon, and nothing shows support better than financial support. Don't forget to share this podcast with a friend. Say you don't have the finances to support me. All you have to do is hit the share button. All you have to do is tag a friend under that you think will benefit from today's episode. I'll see you guys next week for another segment of TR Tuesdays. That's all the time I have for today. Thank you for listening. As always, I end with a quote. I waited at the counter of a white restaurant for 11 years. When they finally integrated, they didn't have what I wanted. Dick Gregory. These are
These are the tales that I tell so well. I met this girl, her name was Joan. She loved the way I rock on the microphone. When I met Joan, I took her home. She was just like a doggy on my bone. I met another girl, her name was Ann. All she wanted was to freak with a man. When I met Ann, I shook her hand. We ended up digging by a garbage can. The next young freak I met was Red. I took her to the house and she gave me head. She liked to freak, is all she said. We jumped in the sheets and we broke my bed.